council meeting. The agenda, there are some addendum items, added delegations, and an amendment to option 5 in our, on RB 7. And the agenda has been approved, so I will ask Councillor DeBoer to please say the prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us for trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, I would like to ask Council, is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest? Seeing none, I would like permission from Council to bring RB 7 forward. Do I need a mover and a seconder to be able to do that? Okay, Councillor Patterak and Councillor Mezzapelli, all those in favor? It's carried. Okay, so we will go to RB 7. I have a motion moved by Councillor Thompson, seconded by Councillor McClure, that report DP 2014-011, growth forecast review, growth options be received, and that the region appeal adjust Caledon's 2013 population from 108,000 to 113,000 persons and 2031 employment from 46,000 to 49,000 jobs in accordance with Amendment Number 2 of the Growth Plan for the Greater Golden Horseshoe. And that the region appeal use a total population of 146,000 persons and a total employment of 73,000 jobs for the town of Caledon by 2041 in preparation of a regional plan, official plan amendment that conforms to the growth plan amendment 2. And that the region appeal set a reasonable greenfield density target for Caledon that will support a strengthened assessment base for both the town and the region without increasing greenfield residential density. And that the region appeal pursue a change of provincial policy to de-link employment development from the minimum greenfield density requirement in the growth plan, and that copies of this report be forwarded to the region appeal in the cities of Mississauga and Brampton for their information. I have another motion moved by Councillor Foley and seconded by Councillor Mezzapelli that staff report DP 2014-011, growth forecast review, growth options be referred back to staff in the Development Approval and Planning Policy Department, and that a special council meeting be scheduled for February the 20th, 2014, with an open house to take place at 6 p.m., followed by the public information meeting at 7 p.m. regarding growth forecasts review, and that notice be provided to the community associations, SEAC, etc. I have Councillor Thompson first, but since it's your motion, and you seconded it, Councillor Mezzapelli, if you want to go first, you can, or do you not care? Well, you didn't push your thingy. Okay, you can go first because you moved it. Okay.
I thought it was first. I didn't know how to push the button. Sorry. You know, I think if you ask most people why they're in Caledon, they're not going to tell you it's because they wanted to live in a city lifestyle. And I think that's what potentially this opens the door to. I feel very strongly that it needs more discussion. It needs more public input. We're being asked to plan by numbers, and in my opinion, that doesn't properly consider our ecosystems or our quality of life, traffic situations, impact on productivity of people who have to commute. I think we really need to know how much farmland we stand to lose by the options that we would be looking at. You cannot put farmland back after you build houses on it and put asphalt over it. And I don't know, when the province continues to hand us down these numbers, where they figure our food is going to come from. I think the answer that it will all be shipped in from somewhere else is not a sustainable plan, and it's not a good food security plan. I think perhaps
these are reasons why you're
referring. These are reasons why I would like to refer this report. And to get more public input. I believe that we need to explore the creation of an agricultural land reserve. I think that this narrow vision that the only way to have economic growth is by population expansion is wrong, and I think it's time we shifted instead to a focus on developing skills and capacity instead of just more. These are the reasons why I would like to see this go back out to the public for more discussion. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Mazzapelli as a seconder.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, I did second this. And reading this report, the first thing I put on top of my report in bold letters was public consultation. This report and what it is entertaining very realistically is a pivotal shift in the future of our community. And as a result of that, I think it's absolutely imperative that the public be thoroughly engaged in this process. Just us passing this forward, I don't think that is what we should be doing. And the referral speaks to a public open house where we will, and I know the press is here, we need to make the public aware, whatever your position, whether you want the numbers or whether you don't, come out and have your voice heard. Again, this is a huge chapter in our future, and we need the public to come out and very clearly state and how they feel about this. Personally, for myself, reading through the report,
You have to speak to the referral, not the report.
Referral. I just want, as a part of the public consultation, a clear demonstration of how Caledon has grown, how the communities in Caledon have grown, and how these five options play out from there. I would very much like the public to see a clear graphical representation of what we are entertaining and whether that is how we want our community to grow. So I want every tool available for us to express what's before us and every ear to be turned to listen to what the public has to say. This is their community, and we got to make sure that Caledon designs how our community grows, not the region, not the province, but Caledon. Thanks.
Okay. Let me see. Councillor Thompson.
Yes, I'd like to, I will support the referral, but on different opinions. And a couple things that I think need to be discussed as it comes back, especially for the public, is we need the finance to come forward to say what the employment, what the value is of increased employment for employment lands, because that's something that if we're going to do the delinking as the report explained, I think it's a good planning report, but I think we need a financial basis put that from the town here as well. Two is also what the provincial highway and what the impact's going to be on that, because the province is going to build a highway counting on the commerce that's going to come with it to help pay for this highway. They're not building a highway through Greenland just to look at. they're looking at a commerce benefit to pay back for that highway. So I think we have to look at this as a big picture and inform the public with a very balanced report when we come back. And doing that, I will support this, but there's one question, Madam Mayor, I'd like to ask for a point of clarification. You brought this forward. We do have a delegation coming forward, and if we're going to bring this forward with shutting this out, we should at least inform them of that ahead of time instead of asking them to sit here to realize that there's no point in delegating.
Well, I can tell you, Councillor Thompson, that until the motion or referral passes, nothing's been shut out. And if it failed and we had told the delegates not to bother coming and then we dealt with the motion, then we'd have a problem.
I just thought it was just, you know, why we didn't have the delegation first is the question.
Because I asked the clerk if she could tell them that there was a referral on the table, so I'm assuming.
Your Worship, through Your Worship to members of Council, I believe the delegate was informed that there was a potential of this motion being deferred, and they do still have the option of delegating if they wish. Again, not having a decision of Council, we can only do the best we can of just informing the delegates.
So they can still delegate even though it's referred?
Procedurally, yes, they're allowed.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that. Thanks for the clarification. And Madam Mayor, I think it is important that we have discussion. I'm just saying, just to do two things. I was kind of thinking we maybe do it two different nights, have a public meeting, and then come back and let council versus have it all together as
it
one evening.
It isn't all together. The referral motion is to refer it so that we have a special council meeting, which will follow like a PIM. So there's an open house from 6 to 7, and then there's the public meeting,
yes,
like a PIM, where they come forward,
yes,
they can talk, they can tell us what they think, etc., and then it will come back to another council meeting.
Well, okay, the way it sounded like it was all together, so
no,
that's why I just wanted to make sure it was broken apart, that there's enough time.
It is.
Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Whitehead?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I certainly support the referral. It puts me in mind of the dump issue many years ago with the Interim Waste Authority, that when it was first announced, nobody really paid any attention to it, although we had public meetings on it and so on. It wasn't until actually it got underway as an investigated item that people in the community began to be aware of the magnitude of what it was that the province was proposing at that time in a huge landfill site. And I think I can draw a parallel to today. As we've discussed all through this term and the previous term, the Places to Grow policy initiative of the province and the impacts on Caledon, the theoretical populations, and how the face of our community is going to change. But I don't think that it had a strong audience because it was all theoretical. And now it's a practical application of what the policy meant. Now people are going to need to pay attention. As you recall, Madam Chairman, I was very much opposed and have spoken many times against the provincial Places to Grow legislation because it put Caledon's whole planning initiative, its trinodal concept of how a rural municipality would take on some urbanization. It just turned our whole planning for 30 years on its head. And we are compelled to put forward and to implement and manage, if you like, provincial policy. And therefore, in this referral, I want to make sure that in referring this item to the public with this excellent staff report that's going to be a preamble, and people are going to have a month to read it and think about it, that the issue here is provincial policy. The issue isn't this council wanting to have an enormous amount of urbanization and change of the fabric and face of our community. It never was that. And we are the victims of provincial policy. With a provincial election probably coming up in the spring, this is the ideal time for the people of Caledon to address the issue of provincial policy and of holding Caledon victim to the needs of the GTA in having a large urban area created where one doesn't exist. And as Councillor Foley said, the loss to farmland and so on as a result. So I certainly favor the referral, but I wouldn't want the meetings to leave the impression with the public that we are taking forward to them a staff recommendation that is our direction of what should happen to Caledon. It's an excellent report that staff have done in collaboration with the region of how provincial policy would go forward in changing the face of Caledon. If there only people have to understand that the only chance there is not to have it this way isn't to get us to change our policy, it's to get the province to change their policy. And that needs to be the fabric that's explained carefully to the public when we have these informal public meetings. They're really preambles to a public initiative to stop a provincial initiative, exactly like we did with the landfill sites some 20-odd years ago. Is we understood we were pitted against provincial policy as a community, and we acted accordingly. If we don't want what the staff is recommending here, which are all versions of the same thing, which is the enormous urbanization of South Caledon, if the community does not want that, then we are engaging in a community effort, Madam Chairman, not to get local policy to change, but a community effort to get provincial policy to change. And I want to make sure that people understand that so that they don't start shooting the victim, so to speak. They don't concentrate. Like we said years ago, and you'll recall, Madam Chairman, you were part of it, is we kept constantly saying to the public, don't focus your attention on us with the landfill issue. Let us help you focus your attention on the province in dealing with the issue. Thank you. And I'll ask for a recorded vote, please.
Councillor Beffert.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I support the notion of referral. I think this is an extremely important issue for our community, but I would like to ask that as part of the referral, either in the referral or a directive to staff, that we clearly articulate with a magnifying glass some more issues related to our villages. I know it mentions in there Caledon East and the villages, but I think we need to determine as the people from Ward 1 come out and take a look, I think it has to be recognized that we have issues. We've got Bell Fountain that has issues, we have Alton that has issues, and they need to know where they fit. They need to know what's going to happen. It's one thing to talk about Bolton and Mayfield West and all of the growth. What is going to be the outcome with respect to Caledon Village and Alton and Bell Fountain and Cataract with respect to all of this building, either directly or indirectly being such close proximity to such a high number of people? So if there's any way that staff can direct some more specific requirements for those villages. People have talked about it for a long time. They're now saying, what is going to happen to our village as we move forward with this increased number of residents in our community? So I would support the referral, but either directly or indirectly, I'd like staff to know that the people who come out here from the rural areas need to know a little bit more about what's going to happen in their communities.
Okay. Councillor Paderak.
Thank you. It's quite wonderful to start the year agreeing with Councillor Whitehead. And I would phrase it quite a little bit differently, and it's that we're caught in a role of managing upper-level government policies. And I think all of us have somewhat naively at one time or another believed that planning was visioning and doing a lot of things, and what the province has basically done, it's taken our watercolors away, it's taken our paper away, it's taken our brush away, and it's given us a calculator. And that's not satisfactory. But I would like to ask, when the report comes back, we have a number of options. Whatever options do come back, they do projections as to percentages of residential assessment to commercial industrial. I would like to see, in terms of the undeveloped area that's available, what the land budgets are to fulfill those scenarios, because that's my fear, that we'll build ourselves into a box.
Now, I hope this is why you're going to support the referral.
Because it's not there, and that's what I would like to see in the consultation and with staff, because we are free as residents ourselves to speak up at this public meeting. And give our views as well, because we didn't have input into these various scenarios before today. So I'm in support. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to quickly state a couple of other things as to the importance of having this public consultation aspect to this very important issue. And Councillor Baffert touched on it. This is not just an issue that will impact the southern portion of Wards 2, 4, and the Bolton area. As I stated before, this has a potential to drastically change the character of our community, and that will inevitably affect the rural areas. Even though they're not directly involved, they are directly adjacent to an involved area. So it is important for all of our residents to come and participate in this process. The other thing I wanted to clearly state and to mention this to staff is, depending on the feedback we get from the public, and certainly I've made my position clear on this issue. Personally, I don't support either of these five options.
You have to speak to the referral.
And the importance of having the public participate is you may get very strong feedback that they don't support any of these options, that they're looking for a lower number, and that is what our community wants. So we need to be open to the possibility of a public that wants a number not reflected on these five options. So we need to be open to that possibility. The last thing I wanted to say, Madam Mayor, was, and we keep talking about, you know, coming down from the region, planning by, or the province, planning by numbers. I haven't yet been told by the province that we can't plan our community like we want. And if our community tells us they want a different community than we're proposing here, we need to relay that back up the chain to the region, to the province. And we may find that there's a problem with them allocating population numbers the way they are in a community that is filling out and spilling into a community that's got a very different plan for its future. So I just ask that we have our minds open to comments like that from the public. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Councillor McClure?
Yes.
Did you put your mic on, please?
Okay, thank you. I support this proposal as well.
The referral?
Referral as well, okay. Yeah. We have to think of possible economic advantages to this. I'd like the public's opinion, and it's small communities like Cheltenham and Campbell's Cross, they have to think about this too. We can't okay. We can't forget about them either. That's all.
Thank you. Councillor Foley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Further to what Councillor Mazzapelli is saying about being open until you hear back from the public, I think that we need to be ready to explore the idea of an agricultural land reserve. I think if what we hear back is that we do want to protect more of our farmland, it's wonderful that 80% of Caledon is protected by provincial plans, but if what has to happen to protect the amount of farmland we want to protect is that it has to change to 90%, I want us to be willing and hopefully able to work towards that goal instead. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I will also be supporting this notice or this referral. I feel that it is extremely important for us to hear from the public how they feel. And every time we've dealt with population numbers, we have heard from the public. So I also have a motion that Councillor Thompson and Councillor Whitehead are going to put forward asking the region appeal to delay their process so that we can get through our process. So I have had a request for a recorded vote. So all those in favor of the referral?
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote has been called for the referral, and I see that all members of council in attendance are in favor, so the motion is carried.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, we'll go back to our, I have this motion, sorry. Moved by Councillor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Whitehead, that the region appeal be requested to recognize the timing of the town process to provide a town position on Amendment 2 of the growth plan, and that the region change its consultation and reporting to regional council time frame Anyway, it doesn't matter. To include the town's position. Recorded vote on that. All those in favor, please. Stand.
Thank you, Your Worship. Another recorded vote has been called, and I see once again that all those in attendance are in favor, so the motion carries.
Okay. Okay, we'll go back to the regular agenda. We have delegations. Our first delegation is Andrew Walker and... before I go to that, the clerk is just asking me to ask Mr. Schnarr if he would like to withdraw his delegation at this time, since we're not going to be dealing with the growth numbers at this time. Okay. Okay. Then I will call forward Andrew Walker and Michael Gagnon. To talk about the residential Bolton residential expansion study.
Good afternoon, Madam Mayor and members of council. It's Michael Gagnon, and I'm joined this afternoon by Andrew Walker of my office. I'd like to thank you for this opportunity to address the committee. At the end of our submission, we do have a copy of this presentation and our previous submissions as well that we will be submitting to the council and staff.
And council has this one before them in their package.
Yes, and we have some previous submissions that we've bound up for you. Being mindful that this council is well informed by its staff, we're going to keep our presentation very short. We're not here this afternoon seeking approval of a specific motion. We're really here to contribute to the process that you have started with respect to the BREZ. And we're hoping, and I've already been assured by OHI, his arena of your staff, that we will be able to have a meeting with him in the upcoming few weeks. So without further ado, I'll move on in the presentation to get to the specifics. As I mentioned, we're here with respect to the BREZ. In particular, our client is Flatow Developments. Flatow is a home builder who has been building across the GTA, and I'm pleased to announce in the past year has acquired a certain number of assets in Bolton and also in Palgrave, where we filed a recent application. And he has asked us to make submissions in connection with your BREZ. The lands in particular that he has is 50 acres on Humber Station Road. And the 50 acres he has there is in what was called Area 4 in the staff and consultant work to date. Now, as I mentioned, we had made previous submissions. When we first started making submissions, we were talking about Area 4, where our clients' lands are located. Back in June, though, it struck us that perhaps a combination of Area 3 and Area 4 would result in the best planning for the expansion of Bolton. And that's what you see on the screen. I'm not sure if this is a... it's not a pointer. You know, that's you'll have to forgive me.
We have it in front of us.
Oh, there we go. Okay, wonderful. Good, thank you. That's what I wanted to do. A little bit technically challenged. I'm not the only one, I can assure you that. But in any event, the subject lands that are before you right now, what we call the area hybrid option number 7, would incorporate approximately 50% of option 3 and 50% of option 4. And what this does is it brings in the lands in area 3 that are in proximity to the GO station, and then it brings in lands in Area 4, which are in proximity to your employment area. And we feel that this will provide a wonderful opportunity to not only take advantage of existing and proposed infrastructure, but also avail future residents in this area of employment opportunities, so we have a little bit more balanced growth. I have to tell you, Councillor Mezzanpelli, listening to your comments on the previous matter, I feel for your concern and the concerns of councillors about planning by number. It's not really the best way to do it. Unfortunately, as you mentioned, the province has forced this upon us. So with that in mind, we want to make sure it's the best planning is being done. What we've done here is, building on the map that your staff and consultants prepared, we have shown Area 7 and identified Areas 3 and 4. And I think this is where perhaps when this matter comes back before Planning Committee, or if there is even direction provided to staff today to contemplate Option 7, what we need here is a bit of thinking outside of the box, because your consultants, when they came back, recommended certain areas that were being studied in the BRES exercise be carried forward for additional analysis. And I think that it would be enlightened thinking to say, you know what, maybe what we need to do is slow down a little bit and think about how we do the best planning for the community of Bolton. And what, in our opinion, that means is suggesting this combination of 3 and 4 be looked at for the various attributes that the area has, and that we have this GO station gateway west option, which is, in our opinion, more balanced than a very strict sort of parochial Area 3 versus Area 4 versus Area, you know, 1 or 5. So trying to work within the confines of the study that you have, your consultants and your staff have prepared, we have looked at the 13 criteria that your staff had put together, and out of respect to all of you, you're all able to read and you're able to digest this material, so I'm not going to be patronizing and read all 13 to you. But by and large, what you see when you look at these criteria is an expansion area, this combination area, which in our opinion would score very well on the indices 1 to 13. And what we would like to do when we meet with your staff in the future, and for future presentations, is actually delve into these criteria you have and then our analysis in terms of how they score. Because we think that hybrid option 7 will score very well and will be in the municipality's best interest looking at the growth of Bolton. I think it was, again, Councillor Mazzapelli who talked about the province. Not only is the province dictating the numbers you have to plan to, the province is saying not only will you have this many people and this many jobs, but you're also going to have highways. The fact of the matter is, Caledon is faced with the same thing Toronto is, and Mississauga and municipalities, of having to do the same thing. Taking these dictates from the province and then trying to make the best community possible. So what we've done here, trying to take a holistic look, and I'm going to ask Andrew to point this out, where Area 3-4 is, the combo area, which would be option 7, those hatched lands. Yeah, I told you I wasn't the only one.
Not the only one.
Problems here. So this is option 7, the hybrid option, and what we've done here is, starting at the north end, we have identified the GO lands. We have a residential community that we suggest be located in close proximity to the GO. South of that, we have a commercial and mixed-use area, and that band would be on both sides of King Street and would create a very strong, balanced gateway into the municipality. Going south of King Street, we have more residential, but you see a distinctive red band of commercial, mixed-use, and then the blue are employment lands. And then going south of this hybrid area, we are envisaging, and this would be predicated on a belief that the province is going to give you more numbers, that in the future you're probably going to expand your employment area and have more people to accommodate. And that gray line you see at the bottom, this would be a potential alignment of the GTA West corridor. So we tried to expand the exercise and look down the road to see how best this option would accommodate future projected growth, if in fact it comes. And my belief is there will be a highway eventually, and you might as well try and do the best planning around it. Before the meeting, I was having fun with some of the other consultants that are here today and landowners, and I was comparing this top 10 merits to, I think it's Letterman who has top 10. And one of them suggested maybe I should start with 10 and finish at number 1. As with the criteria, I'm not going to take you through all of this. This is really for your consumption when you have time to linger over the report a little bit and perhaps speak with your staff. But I do believe that The hybrid option is going to give the municipality the best bang for the buck. And in conclusion, what I'd like to do is thank you for the opportunity to date that we've had. We first introduced the idea of the hybrid in June. We haven't had any opportunities for any in-depth discussion, but we feel that in going forward in 2014, this is the right time to start to work with your staff and hopefully with the whole of this council. So those are our comments, and if you have any specific questions, we'll try and answer them, and if not, we look forward to future opportunities.
Okay, thank you. Councilor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you very much for your delegation. And I'm glad that you have delegated and that Glenn's going to delegate too. By no means that, Madam Mayor, I just wanted to make the point by referring this, did we want to impede or close conversation? I am looking to have more conversation, and that's what the referral was speaking to. So I'm glad that the people who are delegating chose to still delegate. The question I have with respect to your presentation, and we've talked a couple times here about the possibility of a hybrid and making it more of a gateway of as you've presented it. The one question I have is, as this is a residential expansion, and as I look at the BRES mapping, and option 7 is 190 hectares, which is the required land budget for this residential expansion of, I think, 10,300 people. But then looking at how you break it down, you do have a commercial industrial component. And I could be wrong, and staff correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe that that was envisioned as a part of this expansion. It's a residential expansion.
If I might, through Madam Mayor, Councillor, you're right. The expansion is looking at how do you accommodate a certain number of people. But I think that in terms of, I think it was Councillor Padarak who mentioned about the colored pens in our paper, when you sit down to try and master plan this future expansion for the community, we've taken some liberties here to say that, you know what, with the opportunities that the infrastructure presents, with the opportunities associated with the future GO, understanding that it is important also to have places for people to work, we felt that conceptually, by illustrating the opportunities that are available in this combination area to provide not only places where you can live, but also where you can work and shop and play, it was an important thing to do. The other element of this is to initiate the dialogue and the asking of questions as you are, and then work with your staff, because the combination might in fact be a 3-4 combination and then some other area as well that is in the mix can contribute towards the residential. It's trying to be a little bit more dynamic in the planning of the area and not just say this is just going to be a residential addition.
Right, and I'm certainly not suggesting that the way you've laid it out isn't good. It certainly looks good from a practical perspective, having a commercial area that would serve the residents and industrial adjacent to existing industrial. And in the end, that might be what you might have to do is, if this were to go forward, is push to the west and get that 190 hectares of residential and then have those other lands for those other purposes. So I just want to thank you for your delegation today. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Whitehead.
What is the maximum contemplated population of the Hybrid 7?
It is shy of the total that was projected for the expansion because of what the Councillor Mazzapelli mentioned. I don't have a number in front of me. I think that depending on the densities that are applied there and the form of development, you could come close to approximating it, but we don't have a firm number. It is less than the projected number, though.
You're talking about 10,000 people.
Yes, it's less than that, yes. That's why I'm saying that you might have to make up some of the residential by bringing in Area 1, perhaps, part of Area 1, some of the other smaller infill areas. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. And I guess this would be taking the vision a little bit farther in what you're looking at, but when we talked about these scenarios, in the back of my mind, I've always thought that, for example, the area on Betamat and then the little bit of industrial land that's across the road, and then the industrial lands that are north of King Road in this area, does it really still make sense that they stay industrial when you look at having residential around it, since they are a small portion of it? And I guess the question I would have is, how would you see integrating those areas into this, and keeping in mind that there is a GO track and there's a railway track and there's a fairly busy track, how to fit those areas into the whole picture and make it continuous? Because what we're going to end up is with an industrial area. One is a batch plant, one is a stone place right now. There's a trucking depot, a couple of trucking depots. I would suggest none of them overly conducive to being in the middle of a residential area.
Through you, Madam Mayor, to the councillor, I put up page 2 here because I think what it does is it helps us see those various areas in relation to the underlying land uses. In fact, the concrete outfit, I think it's Lafarge.
Permacon,
pardon me. Mr. Walker's wife is one of the senior people that works there, so she's up in this neck of the woods all the time. It hasn't gone unnoticed by us that you do have some of these industries, and I think that in part that's why our hybrid option has some employment lands. There's two ways of dealing with it, or three perhaps, putting some sympathetic land uses in proximity to those as an interface, but also introducing the commercial or mixed use. But through the master planning exercise with the municipality, it might be that you look at your existing Bolton areas and you do some tweaking there and invite those landowners to indicate if they would like to contemplate either land use changes, if it's felt that some of those businesses are perhaps a little long in the tooth and there's going to be a natural desire to transfer those into other uses. I think that's part of the future planning that has to be done.
Okay, and I don't want anybody to think that we want them to leave entirely. No. I think there's got to be a way to, and I think Permacon, and you brought them up, was an example of a company that we had issues with, and they were fantastic to work with. So we certainly want to keep all those businesses in that area in the community.
Yeah, and on that point, and with the Councillor Mezzapelli's discussion we had, that's why when you look at the land use plan, rather than, you know, just saying, okay, all of the hybrid area will be yellow and it'll be residential, it's really not the best way to do this. And the decision you have as a council and staff, it's not an easy one. There has to be a lot of thinking about the things you've mentioned and what other councillors have said. And what we're trying to do here is to drill down a little bit to try and identify what those issues are and how to deal with those edge conditions. Yeah.
Okay, Councillor Foley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think I like the idea where you're using this mixed commercial space as a buffer between the residential and some of the existing harder uses that are along there right now. And I believe, question for staff, the number for the expansion was 10,000 and change population numbers, residential numbers, but 2,000 and change population-related employment. Would that cover some of the commercial he's talking about here? Can't see you, Mayor.
Through Madam Mayor, to Councillor Foley. Councillor Foley is correct that there were employment, but it was population-related employment. It was not employment. So the commercial, yes, that's being shown, could be utilized, but when you get to the blue industrial that's on the hatching, it would not. And I think that's where one of the other councillors had brought that up already. Okay. Those population numbers are not available at this point in time.
Okay. I'd be interested to hear what the total number is with this, because I'm wondering what it is short, if it's possible the rounding out areas might be able to take up that difference. So I'll look forward to that answer.
We'll commit to provide those numbers in the next week to 10 days.
Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Thompson.
Real quick, your transit hub up there, how big area are you looking at? And I know you had a lot to do with Mount Pleasant, but as you see how well it's highly utilized before a lot of developments around there is, it's commuter parking, it's a transportation hub, just not for GO, but for buses, for car parking, everything else. And is this being considered in your design plan here?
Yes, and through you, Madam Mayor, I'm glad that you mentioned Mount Pleasant Village. In fact, our office has been working on Mount Pleasant and Fletcher's Meadow for about 15 years and working closely with Mattamy and Townwood Homes and Paradise Homes. And in fact, the Mount Pleasant Village garnered about 6 awards last year, as the village alone. So we're very proud of it. And 2 of my daughters have bought homes in there. But the area that you see here in the fuchsia is probably conceptually in the order of about 30 acres. In these transportation hub areas, you have to be careful that you don't overplan them in terms of the type of density and the built form that you imagine there, because it can be actually destabilizing. Or you can have a situation either destabilizing to the existing community, or you can have a situation where you plan for something that will never actually materialize. So what we have here is a transit area that would be more akin to the Mount Pleasant Village, so more modest density, certainly higher than low density. It would be like medium density, the low end of medium density, and probably have built forms in the area of, you know, 4 to 6 stories, stacked townhouses, small, modest apartments, and then regular townhouses. But that area conceptually would be about 30 acres.
Yeah. Thank you. No, it's just all I'm just saying is yes, we're looking at what's going to live there, but also we've got a lot of commuter traffic already that gives them an opportunity to get them out of the car too. So we have to be creative as we go forward. But thank you for your delegation.
Councillor Mazzapelli, I've got to tell you, Council, I pushed some button and everything disappeared. And there were 2 people on it, and I know Councillor Mazzapelli was next. Was there someone else who had pushed that? Councillor Whitehead, do you want to just push it again for me, please? Thank you. Okay, Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll be quick. Just one comment I wanted to make, and certainly on the one hand, having the commercial buffer between the residential and the GO station and employment uses is a good buffer from a land use perspective. On the other hand, and you have employment also as a part of what you're proposing here. On the other hand, the one thing I just wanted to caution on is we want to make sure that we're not negatively impacting the existing commercial areas of Bolton. One of the tests of where and how to develop in the Bolton expansion was to complement and to service that commercial area. So we just want to make sure that we don't negatively impact it. And I just put that out there for your consideration.
Okay. Councillor Whitehead.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think you really need to go back and understand what Metrolink's proposal is. And it's not at all like the one in Brampton. If the GO station is built by Metrolink sometime in the future, it will be the last GO station on the CPR line. So if you go and read their documents, you'll discover that because it is the last GO station that will ever be built, the catchment area and therefore the number of vehicles that need to be parked is enormous. Because anyone that wants to be on the GO system from Tottenham, from Alliston, from Orangeville, from Caledon East, which is a huge catchment area, is, I dare say that the number of required parking spaces for those commuters will be at least as much, if not more, than to serve the Bolton urban area. I was on the, when we had the Greater Toronto Area Services Board, I was on the Transportation Subcommittee. That 18 months that it existed many, many, many years ago, but this plan gave birth to itself during that short period of time when we could do some visioning. And therefore, I was part of that process. And believe me, 30 acres is not going to do it, anywhere near it. So we have to be careful that you not contemplate, and we not contemplate as a planning staff, that the GO station's purpose is to serve the Bolton urban area only. Mm-hmm. It's a far larger catchment area, and therefore is going to require more acres than this. So it's better to understand that at the beginning of the planning process and for all of us to get herded back into redrawing plans later in the process when we realize that we need twice those acres And then you have to adjust boundaries to try to get your population still. I just want to make that point. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good. Thank you very much, everyone.
Okay. We'll move on to our next delegation, Glenn Schnarr, with regards to the growth forecast review.
Good afternoon, Your Worship, and members of council. I'm here to make some brief comments with regard to the growth forecast review and growth options. And I have Because we didn't get our comments in on time. We weren't able to get them up on the screen, so Barbara's kind enough to hand these comments out to you. And while she's doing that, just before I get started, if I can, I might just mention that in the staff report, Alton is noted on page 3 as presently undertaking a settlement boundary expansion study. There is no reference in the report to population for Alton. In the September 11th, 2012 presentation to council, staff noted the Alton residential expansion population of 804. There's no specific reference to this population in today's report, and we believe that the intention is there, but that there should be a specific reference, and I'm not sure if that's what Councillor Beffert was partially referring to as well. And on behalf of Alton Mills and Mr. Humanek, we'd request that staff consider making that specific reference to avoid confusion in the future. I am here on behalf of the Aloha Landowner Group. I've been here previously on behalf of the Aloha Landowner Group, and you know that the Aloha Landowner Group consists of the lands west of Chingakuzi, east of Mississauga Road, north of Mayfield Road, and south of Old School Road. We've reviewed the staff report and the five growth options. We agree with very much of the report, but would like to provide you with some thoughts on the recommendation in the staff report on behalf of our group. As council is very much aware, I'm sure Amendment 2 to the Places to Grow Plan provides for an additional 330,000 population and 100,000 jobs to Peel to 2041, and that Peel is currently working with the three area municipalities to distribute these forecasts as part of their regional official plan review and growth allocation exercise. Brampton and Mississauga have already provided their growth forecast request to the region. And you'll see in my notes that Mississauga's requesting 73,000 population and 42,000 jobs, Brampton 172,000 population and 7,400 jobs. If Caledon were, I believe you know this, but we'd like to underline it, if Caledon were, and I should have prefaced this, Your Worship, by saying that we have no problem with the additional public input. It is a very important planning decision. We agree with some of the comments made that the discretion of Caledon Council is extremely limited by the imposition of provincial planning standards, which have become to be referred to as planning by numbers. But inside of the constraints that are imposed by the province and those evolving constraints, it's important that the population be aware and have the opportunity to input. And certainly the Aloha Landowner Group supports that effort by council. Having said that, if Caledon did endorse the recommendation of the staff report option 5, the region appeal would still be short 46,500 population and 23,500 jobs. So there's a challenge there. There's a challenge for Caledon, and there's a challenge for Peel. And it'll be difficult to see for the region how they're going to deal with this challenge. It'll be difficult for Brampton and Mississauga, particularly Brampton, to take more intensification than what they've already requested. Certainly, the region and the province will be looking at the lands that have become to be known as White Belt as an opportunity to satisfy provincial policies with regard to the requirement for a mix of housing and provision of ground-related housing. You will recall in our presentation of August 2013 regarding the Aloha Village Landowner Group, we advised that we represent a committed landowner group that has a vision for creating a legacy community in Caledon that is complete and innovative, unlike any other community in Caledon. We have committed the dedication of land for a college and university campus, a hospital, a cultural arts center, and committed to providing for a high-tech business park, adult lifestyle community, and planning the entire community as an intelligent community. We believe the town of Caledon has an opportunity to plan for this exciting opportunity by ensuring that the town's growth forecast can accommodate for Aloha Village and the projected 20,000 people and 10,000 jobs that Aloha could accommodate. And I note there, and you'll see in my notes, that it's a 50% activity rate, which also satisfies your job to population assessment ratio. In order for Aloha Village to be realized, the Aloha Landowner Group would be supportive of option 3 or 4. The evaluation matrix that staff outlined in the report, which is table 6, which is the series of high, medium, and low evaluation criteria, indicates that options 3, 4, and 5 were rated very close to one another. We note that there was no weighting to the categories other than high, medium, and low, and that perhaps further evaluation of the options with weighted categories other than high, medium, low could suggest a preference to option 3 or 4. For example, in table 6, option 3 and 4 were rated high for community policy, which represents the potential of each option to support the town building compact and complete communities, which is a very important objective, and perhaps more important to the town's future vision and development than how an option compares to the town's historical growth, which is growth assimilation. Perhaps growth assimilation has a difficult time getting the same kind of rating, because it's hard to believe that Caledon could grow at the same rate from 2001 to 2006 as what it does today, because greenfield lands in the city of Brampton and city of Mississauga are exhausted for this planning exercise, and that has an impact on the assimilation rate and the rate of growth. So in summary, Your Worship and members of council, we understand that the report has been deferred. We'll be here to take in the public input and discussions and comments on February the 20th. And we would request that the town take advantage of the opportunity that you have to plan for a comprehensive and complete community with a committed group of landowners at the table to work with the town to build a complete and desirable community which achieves so many strategic objectives and planning policies of the town. Thank you very much, Your Worship, and members of council.
Thank you. Councillor Beffert.
Yeah, thanks, Glenn. I just have a question regarding the comment in your presentation about Brampton and Mississauga, that it'll be difficult for them to take more. And we've got this additional that you don't know where it's going to go. In light of Metrolinx and the province saying you're going to have a rapid transit right from Port Credit right up to Brampton, do you think that Brampton and Mississauga have really considered the maximum that they need to take in order to make that kind of a system viable?
It's a very good question, Your Worship. In my opinion, Councillor Beffert, I don't think, in my opinion as a planner after having done some analysis on this, and having looked at the historical intensification rate in both municipalities and other municipalities, that it is anywhere close to possible for Brampton to even absorb the numbers that they have provided to the Region Appeal. Even the ones they have now. Okay. That's why when I said it will be a difficult exercise at the region appeal, I would put the difficult in capital letters.
Okay. Councillor Padraic.
Thank you. Happy New Year, Mr. Staff.
Thank you, Councillor.
In regard to your comment that this would be an intelligent community, I guess one of the troubles I had when I read the staff report, which we referred, was that it talked about building communities that were in a character which already exists here. And going into a time beyond my own lifetime, I expect that the population of Caledon will at least approach 200,000 at some point in time, and that to be a viable, vibrant municipality, that we have to have an urban downtown somewhere. And I wonder if what you describe, and I'm not sure Alo is the right place for that urban downtown, but is that part of what you envision when you talk about the cultural other aspects of your community?
Proposed? Through you, Your Worship, it's an excellent question. It's one that we've debated, and I wonder whether Caledon will ever have a single distinctive downtown. It may be that that doesn't happen, and that's more a matter of history than it is of planning. It may be that there are a series of very functional community downtown areas, as way that planning and development has evolved. Does Mississauga have a downtown? I guess you could call Square One their downtown. There was a big debate at one point in time whether it would be Cooksville, and I guess your question kind of goes to that, but we don't envisage Caledon as having a major downtown, and if Caledon were to have a major downtown, it would be likely that you would want to have a very large amount of population that you would be able to locate that downtown would be centered around. In other words, taking 80,000 people and saying, all right, now we got enough for a really major Caledon downtown as opposed to a community downtown. But we think we're going to have community centers instead of major downtowns.
I guess the thing that I struggle with is that we talk about attracting office development, which would help our employment numbers, which our warehouse development never does.
Right.
And in order to have that office component, you have to have a lot of cultural and culinary and all kinds of other support services in that area. So I just don't know where, when we think of it, when we mention office, we have to finish the sentence somehow and not just say we'd like it, because that won't come if we just
I totally agree. Having objectives and having objectives realized through you, Your Worship, are two entirely different stories. It's a very valid observation, but we believe if there is a location in Caledon, given the proposed highway infrastructure in Caledon, given the historic development in Pill Hill and Mississauga, extending north along Mississauga Road through Brampton, that the western side of the Alloa Landowner Group lands, where we proposed higher order employment development and 10,000 jobs, is perhaps the most logical location in Caledon for that type of proposal.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Schnarr, and I'm glad you did choose to continue to delegate.
Thank you.
And I appreciate all that you've laid out here for us, and the fact that you're advocating for developing a complete community. The one thing I would just respectfully disagree with you on is one of the bullets. Just trying to find it here. I believe it was on the second last page where you talked about building compact and complete communities, and this being more of should be more important and significant to the town than historical growth and growth assimilation. And not being a planner, and I fully state that, respectfully I would disagree. In one simple thing is Town of Caledon is a town, and the only way it can maintain characteristics specific and unique to a town are to absorb new growth and have them assimilate to a town mentality. That happened to me. I came from the city, and I came to the Town of Caledon, and I loved the aspects of what made Caledon Caledon. And it's a rural, small urban community, and I got assimilated into that, and thankfully so. If we inject large numbers, unfortunately, the assimilation can work the other way. And that's what draws towns to become cities. And everything I've heard, and in my personal opinion, is not what the community wants for its future. So slower, sustained growth allows that population to see what this community has and be assimilated to that. And we will be a larger community, but hopefully we can be a larger town, not a small city. So I just didn't want to disagree with you without stating it to you and respectfully stating it to you. But I think that growth assimilation is a very key way that we can maintain our community-based strategic plan as we grow out in the future. And I know the pressures and the challenges that we face as our two sister municipalities build out. And I've constantly said the province needs to understand that it is building out two cities, and now we have open space in a town. You cannot continue to apply those numbers to a town the way in which you have to cities. And the province needs to understand that.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I might have done a better job of explaining why we would have, Councillor, given a higher priority or rating to compact and complete communities, because that is something that the Town of Caledon can control. That's one thing you're in control of. The assimilation, as difficult as it is for this council and for many residents in the Town of Caledon, the opportunity for you to control assimilation, if we can paraphrase that into maintaining historical growth rates, is very difficult. And I say with respect, that's not something you're in control of. And at some point, the council needs to make a decision, in my opinion as a planner, whether the wisest course of action is to continue to resist the imposition of provincial planning standards and policies and statutes in the hope that you're going to be able to maintain through the entire Town of Caledon, not just the White Belt, but the entire Town of Caledon, a community character that is more similar to what it was historically. And as a planner, with an Ontario Municipal Board there, with provincial statutes there, I think that challenge for the Town of Caledon is incredibly difficult. I don't know whether the town, in its best efforts, forget how noble the objectives might be, whether the town can achieve that. And if the town can't achieve it, as a planner, I believe it's better to undertake good, long-term, comprehensive planning for complete communities than it is to have to assimilate that growth in short term imposed by the province without the opportunity to have it on your terms.
And I fully appreciate your candor. The only thing, and I will close with this, Madam Mayor, is I will put back there to you, is, and you talked about how that we are deficient by, I forget how many population you said, 37, roughly 40,000 people and 27,000 jobs. Quite honestly, and with respect, I look at it and say, okay, so Peel's population in 2041 will be 1.92 million. What skin is that off the province's nose? And for that matter, what skin is it off their nose if it's 1.9 million? You know, they talk very strongly in their provincial policy and Places to Grow Act, respecting character of communities. That's what we're talking about here. And so if they have to shave off a little bit, I don't see the harm in that. I just put that to you with respect. Thank you.
I understand. Thank you.
Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks.
Mr. Starr makes some interesting comments, and I think when we go to a public meeting, I think some of this information needs to be part of it, so that the public has a full understanding of what we have to think about when we're making our decision. You know, we have to sit here and make a decision based on staff recommendation. Staff also have an understanding of what the provincial policies are, the realities of the region, the regions involved into it. And I think an in-depth information, you know, many of the residents that become involved in the issue want to have an understanding of it. I think they do realize that there's got to be more to it than just saying we don't want any population. I think if they understand that in the grand scheme of things, if we want to remain in the driver's seat, as you alluded to, you know, we've got to work with it. And the flip side of it is, if we do decide to take a number less, and if we stay with the region appeal with, using your math, roughly 40,000 unallocated within the region of Peel, what does the province do with it? What do the planners at the region, what do our planners, Mississauga Brampton planners, see that the province is going to require it? Because you know, even though we are in Caledon and in the region of Peel, been able to maintain a local government request for population up to the region, I believe it's the Places to Grow Act that actually suggests that it's the region that should be directing the numbers down. So, you know, is the province going to tell the region, you have to find a spot for it? So you turn around and do it. Well, we've always wanted to maintain control here within our own communities. Brampton and Mississauga have fought for planning control within their communities since the inception of the region appeal. So do we want to, now that Brampton and Mississauga are essentially built out, turn our planning function over to the region appeal? I just begin to question that out loud. So I think you make some, I think, sobering points on the reality of what the whole issue is. You know, even though you're here representing a specific landowner group, I think the thought has to be with the reality is that we've got a larger points to take into, or larger area to take into account, whether it's, you know, that this can affect Bolton, it can affect Alton, and then the impacts of it.
The entire White Belt.
Yep. An entire White Belt and how it builds out. I think your other comment is right on, too, I think, toward Councillor Patterak's, do we have a city center? I firmly believe that Caledon will have a number of functional centers. I think we just have to figure out how to do it. I know we had a presentation from one group. You were here for it earlier, and it was basically how do you add to and build around a GO center. But when you look at that block of land in that area, mind you, it's bigger than the scenarios and the amount that they've got there, but it does make a fairly large circle that would represent a residential area similar to the existing size of the village of Bolton. Now, you know, knowing that Bolton is basically Highway 50 and then a small piece way over, and then there's some industrial land and it's separated with the railway tracks. Well, you've got almost the same volume of land on the other side of the railway tracks. You know, does it make sense to start with another center core there, like you suggested, and then rather than trying to add a piece to the Bolton as the application was. So I think that was a comment that's interesting, and I don't think it's, in my thinking, isn't too far off the map, off the mark as far as a number of centers. And I think, you know, we're looking at Mayfield West having a center. Your group's proposal looks as having a center. I think we've got one already existing in Bolton. We've kind of looking at trying to develop something here within Caledon East and the downtown area here. I would hope that staff, when they bring back for the public meeting, we do cover some of the ground with regards to the legislative requirements and a position, what the impacts on the legislative requirements are, regardless of the decision. Even the position that they're recommending is going to come up short. I'd like to know, what does that really mean legislatively? Where does that put us? Not that I'm going to advocate for a higher number, but I do certainly want to know, you know, what the whole, what the impact's going to be on the law.
In answer to your question, Councillor, it's a question that I don't think has been answered before, because we haven't had the experience before. And the question being, what's the province going to do if the region says we aren't taking this last 50 or this last 30 in jobs? We haven't, it's new ground. We haven't been there before. So, I mean, is the region going to say that? And if they do, what does the province say? And does the province really speak, or does the Ontario Municipal Board start doing planning for municipalities because developers refer to the board and the board says these are provincial statutes and policies we need to conform to? I don't like that scenario. I'd like this scenario of negotiation with the province by the region and the municipalities to achieve what you want to get, because once it gets into that tribunal, I don't like the chances that as, those people are trained to interpret the law and policy, if that helps.
Yeah, it does, and I, for one, wouldn't want to relegate our planning and the development of our community to somebody any farther than essentially this building.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Oh, I have a whole list again. Councillor Whitehead, must be something you said.
Madam Chair, I'll try to be brief because I know we're going to discuss this many times in the future, but and Glenn, you and I have talked about this before. So I think the type of growth and urbanization in Chingangkusi is quite different than anywhere else in Caledon, because you don't have a core to build around, either in Mayfield West or in Aloha. I mean, you just simply don't have a former municipality there. It's a lot different in Bolton, Caledon East, and Palgrave, and the villages in the Caledon ward, and including Cheltenham and the Chingangkusi ward, because you're building around existing communities. I mean, the scenario we saw earlier today where they were trying to, and had some good cues, were trying to create a purpose community, but to Bolton. I mean, you can call it what you like, you know, Go Central or, you know, Go-Go, whatever you want to call it, but it's still, as they showed their map, is part of the larger Bolton community. I don't know, and I've said this before, how in the world we're ever going to build a distinctive town in the Chingangkusi area when the effect is, when you look at roads and transportation and transit and whatnot, they're really appendages to what Brampton is doing. When we saw the presentations on Mayfield West, the latter ones, a lot of the discussion went around how do you make the transit work? How do you have these road alignments take place so that it's all really part of whatever Brampton's decided already to do? And that's the real challenge. Quite different than the rest of Caledon. So I don't know. I think, you know, we've always prided ourselves with being a community of communities. And of course, urbanization is going to occur in Southwest Caledon. The challenge that I know you work with and others is how do you make it so that still part of the community of communities of Caledon, in what was the former agricultural reserve and the main body of agriculture, which Councillor Foley was talking about today, because quite frankly, you can't preserve agriculture in Peel, in Palgrave, or in Alton, because with the exception of Nick, who is a hero and makes the farm work, there is no good farmland, particularly in the 80% of Caledon that we're not going to urbanize. The farmland is where the province says we're going to urbanize. And my final point, Madam Chairman, is these discussions, if we're going to change anything, have to go back to the province. If Mississauga and Brampton, quite rightly, are saying, well, look, we can't take on any more population than we're willing to take on, the rest of it has to go to Caledon. The rest of it will go to Caledon unless the province lowers the Peel number.
Absolutely.
And moves it somewhere else in the GTA.
Absolutely.
And that's a discussion that's going to start, I hope, with these public meetings coming up and proceed from there. Thank you.
Okay. The clerk is just pointing out to me that it's 10 minutes for a delegation and 10 minutes for questions. So I was just asking her, which councillor do I say you can't speak? You know, it makes it very difficult because there's rambling going on and there's not direct questions of the delegate, which is what it's supposed to be. Sorry to bring that up when it's your turn, Councillor Thompson. But
yeah, well, I'll make it really clear. And Madam Mayor, I'm going to go back real quick. And with Mayfield West, you know, was about 15 years ago when we had Charette's, where we had a community engagement.
to me, that's what where I was hoping we could get out of coming forward on the numbers, and that's not going to happen. But I think is what you hear from some different planners' point of view outside the interest that they're representing. I think there's some good key factors and takeaways here today that I wish the community could be engaged to hear about. And I don't know if it'll get published in the papers or not, but I think there's some good messages out there that we need public engagement, because the big thing is if the growth has to come, I'd rather have the community and council to decide versus OMB board hearings and everything from fighting with resistance. So I think we really have to understand what we want to be and what we're going to look like and what choices we have to make. And I think once we understand what the rules of engagement are, how do we do it as a community of Caledon on how we want it to look like. So I want to thank the delegation, but I think there's some good information that's come forward here out of the discussion, and I know it's taken a while, but I think at the end of the day, I just wish there's more community involvement that we could get this kind of input and better education to understand where we're at. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councillor Baffert.
Thanks, Glenn. I'll make it fast. You piqued my interest with respect to the additional 46.5 and 23.570. I mean, that's a huge number. And I think we all understand that intensification and rapid transit are what the province is pushing for. And I hear you talking about Mayfield West and West. When we first started talking about the corridor, the east-west corridor, it was a corridor. It wasn't just a highway. There was some kind of transit in that mix. To your knowledge, has the government ever, through Metrolinx or anywhere else, put forward proposals that would see the rapid transit T across the top of Brampton? In other words, that there were plans in the future to bring the rapid transit up Highway 10 to Brampton, which we all know is going to happen, but then to T it so that we mix over to King and Vaughan and over the other way? I mean, that would be a clear signal that a lot of that number is probably coming to Caledon.
Your Worship, I already know through our work in connection with 407 through Brampton and the requirement that the province imposed for dedicated transit lanes. So, yes, the thinking is absolutely east-west, and I know that the thinking right now for the GTA east-west corridor is the same, but the real question is, when does that happen?
Okay. You finished? Yes? Okay. Councillor Foley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Actually, Glenn, I liked your suggestion that maybe the province take some of those numbers back. I think that resolves a lot of things. I think that would indicate they realize that forcing those numbers on us is at odds with protecting agricultural land, and it's at odds with what the community wants. And I think the province should care what the community wants. A couple of questions that came to my mind. One is, can I find out from staff, and not necessarily right now, what percentage of farmland in the White Belt is prime ag, and what percentage of farmland in the White Belt is still actually owned by farmers, what percentage is owned by developers? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And the clerk might give me a smack here, but because I'm not going to ask you a question, I'm going to tell you what I think. And
as usual.
As usual. Is it that bad? Councillor Mazzapelli made a really good point about Caledon being a town, because we've always looked at it as a community of communities. And when we planned Southfield, we planned it as another village, even though it's probably going to have 25,000 people at some point. And then the west side will have 20,000 or 25,000 people as another village. And to me, that was how we keep the community of communities going. Anyway, I've had this said to me, and I won't say who said it to me, but someone that I respect said to me that when the province did their planning for the growth plan in the cities, that Caledon's really an afterthought. They didn't think about what this will do to Caledon. They were thinking of growing out Mississauga and Brampton. And so I say, I hope the residents of this municipality stand up, and there's a song out right now about Hear Us Roar. I think Katy Perry sings it, and I hope the residents of this municipality roar. And I think that there is enough pull in this municipality. There is there's enough people with that kind of contacts, shall we say. They need to stand up, because if they don't, they're going to lose what they know as Caledon. So that's my opinion.
February 20th should be an interesting evening.
Oh, I think so. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you.
Okay. Council, with your permission, I have to ask your permission now on everything. We are going to go to regular business, because we have some things that need to be dealt with, and staff are here to deal with it. So we have RB1, moved by Councillor Foley, seconded by Councillor Mazzapelli, that report ADM 2014-004 regarding permission to enter agreement on Ann and Stern Streets in Bolton be received, and that project manager of real estate be authorized to negotiate with owners of the properties affected by the works on Ann Street and Stern Street, namely 40 Queen Street North, 33 King Street, corner of Queen Street North and Stern Street, and 18 Ann Street, Bolton, and that the director of public works or their designate be authorized to enter into and to execute the permission to enter agreements to permit entry onto the lands for the purpose of defining the roads with curbs and rebuilding sidewalks on Ann and Stern Streets in Bolton. Are there any questions? All those in favor? It's carried. Okay, move on to RB2. Moved by Councillor Thompson, seconded by Councillor Foley, that report CAO 2014-001 regarding response and recovery from ice storm of December 21st, 2013 be received, and that the mayor and clerk be given full authority to enter into agreements with governments and agencies to effect the cleanup, and that the mayor and clerk be authorized to enter into agreements with the province of Ontario for relief funding, and that the Parks and Recreation Department coordinate all ongoing cleanup efforts and report back to Council on a reforestation plan, and that Fire and Emergency Services report back to Council on a plan to clean up rural private property debris, and that Fire and Emergency Services and Communications report back to Council on a review of the emergency response plan, and that Fire and Emergency Services coordinate a strong education program on emergency response planning for individual households, and that Communications develop a strong community and media outreach program to be used in emergencies, and that Corporate Services be directed to review and plan for backup power at additional Caledon facilities and additional emergency equipment, and that Corporate Services consult with the Region Appeal Mississauga and Brampton on options to assist low-income seniors and low-income persons with disabilities who cannot clear their properties and where contracting the clearing would be a financial burden, and that the mayor pursue with other municipalities a greater accountability for the media in providing information during emergencies. Okay, I have a list. Councillor Thompson.
First of all, the low-income persons, I know we're identifying people with disabilities and seniors. What about some people that are right now out of work, trying to find work, that are challenged too? And, you know, they're able to clean up, but some of them are really short on funds. And I'm just saying, is there anything there to assist? Because I've had a couple of phone calls about that with some challenges they've had. Having said that, I got to say this is a really good report, and I'm moving it. But a couple of things. I was making inquiring, but I couldn't find it in our tree cutting bylaw where it's exempt for bush lots. We got a lot of bush lots out there, and I've got bush lot owners, mostly farmers or landowners, I should say. Maybe that's the best way to describe it, are saying, look, we're way over our limit of our tree cutting bylaw, so what can we do in the next couple of years? And, you know, maybe this year they think the tree might make it, but in another year, you'll probably know what it isn't. So I'm just saying, I can't seem to find in the bylaw where we can waive the procedure. So what are our options here to help that?
Mr. Barnes.
Yeah. Through you, Mayor Morrison. Councillor Thompson, our legal opinion was that during an emergency, the tree bylaw does not apply. And if you want, I can make sure that our solicitor gives you the exact provisions that allows that.
Because I think that's something I think we need clarified for the, especially for the Peel Federation of Agriculture, if we could maybe even get someone to speak on that and for their
February meeting, that would be helpful, too, just to get the message out there as well. My second question, too, is we have a tree seedling program, and is there any way we can expand that or enhance that somehow?
Mr. Barnes.
Yes, again, through you, Mayor Morrison. We've asked in here as well that Parks and Recreation report back on a reforestation plan, and as part of that, I would like them to consider how we use the tree seedling program as well.
Okay, I think that's great, and also I got a list here that I'll share with the staff to get printed out to everybody, and this is from CVC, and it's the University of Wisconsin, who's been through a number of ice storms and trees that survive ice storms with a little disease. And I know Councillor Patterak was saying about the about his favorite tree, the ginkgo, and actually it's one of the highest recommended ones, especially for an urban settlement. So it's a good write-up here that I'm willing to, from the CVC, that I'm willing to share with the rest of the members of council.
Thank you. If I could just point out, Council, on RB 2.2, I believe halfway down the page when it's talking about the different, where the fire went door to door, I don't think it was Sea Grove, I think it's Snell Grove. Okay, I didn't think we had a Sea Grove, or I missed it somewhere. Okay, Councillor Foley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. You know, you have an emergency management plan, and it's not until you get a real emergency like this that you get to tweak it and revisit it. So I think we have a really good opportunity here. As part of our plan currently, do we involve agencies like Cal Meals on Wheels and Calum Community Services in meetings and planning?
Through you, Mayor.
Yes.
Chief. Councilman, I'm not exactly sure. I've got the plan printed off, and I can talk to you later about some of the issues that I had with the contact of some of the agencies.
Okay, because I think it's important if we can to know what they're doing and for them to know what us we are doing in terms of our plan.
We need to revise the plan.
Yes, okay.
And actually, Councillor Foley, in in the plan, the Red Cross is very instrumental in helping.
Okay.
In any kind of an emergency like this, and the Red Cross were called in and provided all of the beds for our warming centers and that sort of thing. So they're very involved, and I think, you know, the chief would see that in, we'll see that in our emergency plan.
I'm just wondering if, like, Meals on Wheels continues to mobilize and deliver meals and that sort of thing, like what happens in those instances. Street trees. All over Caledon, but I'm speaking for Bolton. We had a lot that were severely damaged and some removed, and they're critical in an urban environment, especially for drainage, for shade, for reducing heat island effect, for all of those good reasons. So I'm interested in knowing if we have any idea with the reforestation plan, what kind of timelines we're looking at.
Through you, Madam Mayor, we'll be looking at a several-year plan.
Years.
Because it'll take a significant budget to replace all the street trees we have lost.
Right.
And also, I'm familiar with the CVC article that Councillor Thompson brought up, and there's issues with several of the trees that the CVC article brings up. So we can address that all in a future report.
Okay, thank you, Brian. Speaking about the size of the trees that were lost and that sort of thing, and the cost of a reforestation plan, would it be possible to consider something like allowing a homeowner to partner on a tree? I know it's on a boulevard on municipal property, but in front of their home, it adds value and beauty to their property, to make an offer if they wanted to upgrade, for want of a better word, to contribute so that they would get a larger tree than what we would normally be able to give them within this plan. It takes a long time to grow a tree.
Through you, Madam Mayor. We've done that in the past with street tree replacements before. So we generally budget about $300 a tree plus our taxes for replacement trees. Sometimes homeowners want something that is more substantial than what that affords. And we do offer them to be able to upgrade their tree at their cost.
Great. Thank you. As you're aware, we did have on one particular street some complaints about some ash trees coming down. And I just wondered if you could reiterate for us, Brian, that our policy was an arborist looked at each individual tree before it was removed and how that assessment was made.
Through you, Madam Mayor. We'd have two professional arborists on staff, and they were given leeway in their judgment of what a tree would constitute coming down or what needed pruning, per se. We left that judgment with them as professionals. Also, we had Ministry of Natural Resources staff with us, whose mandate was not to incorporate an EAB management strategy plan with them. They were there strictly for damaged trees. So in their participation, they were only interested in damaged trees. Mm-hmm. So the arborist would make a judgment call, and if they felt the tree came down, which should come down, they brought it down.
Thank you very much for that. Public Works, Dave. Are you able to say offhand where we are in terms of snow removal from the cul-de-sacs?
through you, Madam Mayor. I know that last weekend we had a couple of crews out there starting to do the cul-de-sacs. To be honest with you, I'm not quite sure how far they got, but I can follow up and come back to you with an answer on that.
That would be great. I think the cul-de-sacs and the bridge over the sidewalk over the rail bridge in Bolton were two issues that we heard about the most, and given that that sidewalk is the only connection between the residential area and the commercial industrial on the South Hill, we need to maybe make it a priority in future. In talking to Bruce Hill, you know, it really brings clarity to the situation when you consider that he was working with 24 operators over an area that's over 1,500 lane kilometers of roads. And if someone called in sick or someone had worked their maximum hours or was away, he was working with really even reduced staff. So I think when budget comes forward next, we maybe need to relook, at his request for some additional staff, or look at the possibility of some part-time winter seasonal staff that's even on call for these types of situations. I'm almost done. Sorry, Madam Mayor. One more. communications. There was a question on page RB 2.5, which was, how do you get the message out when there's no power? And I think that part of the solution, part of the answer to that question is in our plan, when we're revisiting it, that there are three distinct automatic places you go X number of hours from a storm or a crisis, one in the east, one in the west, one central, all with generator backup power of some kind, and that information is broadly broadcast to the community, especially when there's warning of an incoming storm. We did have some notice with this one, for example. So if you bring it to front of people's minds before the event, probably better opportunity of them knowing what to do. Also, if we look at in those three facilities, I think we really need to look at our libraries, because we have laptops and computers and so on there. And people, if they can't hear a radio, get to a radio, or they don't have a phone at home or a TV at home, if they can get to somewhere where there's a computer, they can go online. And once you're online, you can hear news, you can go to our website, see our own updates and press releases. And I think that really needs to be considered. Lastly, when you're putting that word out prior to a storm, also remind people not to leave vehicles on the road during the storm or after the storm, because it really interferes in the plowing operations, and then we get complaints later about that. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Paderak.
Yes, I just had a couple of... rather than making changes to the recommendations, I wonder if staff could take a couple of things as direction. We did discuss earlier the issue of Hydro One, and I want to make sure that we're planning or asking Hydro One to come and meet with us, either in a council or a workshop format. I don't care. There are a lot of questions that have been brought to me by the public. Chief among those was that here we had a full-blown emergency. Hydro One crews were out. Their insurance and their rules and regulations do not allow them to go on private property. And there, within their grasp, is a limb that is causing them to not turn on the power for a homeowner when it's minus 18, minus 20. And so they tell them to approach a private contractor, which are lined up and days away. What happened, in fact, was, in some cases, residents became unconsolable, started crying, gesticulating, screaming, what have you. And in some cases, crews just went ahead and did it. They went on private property. They were at risk of losing their jobs. I'm sure if their management knew they did that, but they did it. And I think this is something that Hydro One has to look at when there's a real emergency. how they proceed and what you do. We're talking about life and limb and people with families and in situations where you have homes that are unheated. And no one wants to abandon their home. They don't want to have more damage done, freezing pipes and all the rest of it. So I would like us to make sure that Hydro One is going to come out and talk to us about some of the issues that arose. And the second thing I would like staff to do, and I mentioned it at our last meeting, was it's very easy for us to set up icestorm@caledon.ca and advertise that this is a non, they won't get a response, maybe a receipt that their email has been received, but that we will accept testimonials about what their experience was, what their advice is, because I've asked my email list for feedback, and I'm getting repeat comments about certain things, but I'm also getting unique emails with some ideas about how we might be able to do things. So as we talk about renewing our emergency plan, I think this would be a good way to start to accumulate some public input and to look at it and see how some of these ideas would pan out. So I would ask that if communications could do that. My last comment concerns some of the comments that have been made as far as replacing our urban canopy or urban forest with street trees. When we do this, we should do it with bifocals, not just with storm damage, but also with invasive species, and global. Maybe we need trifocals, and climate change, because we're going to get warmer temperatures, and we have to start looking at trees that are maybe were a few years ago were out of our range, but are coming into our range and will thrive better mm-hmm. than some of the trees that are going to thrive are going to do better in colder temperatures. So that would be one comment I'd make in regard to that. Thank you very much.
Councillor Bradford.
Thank you. Quickly, first of all, could someone explain under bullet 2 on RB2 that the mayor and clerk be given full authority to enter into agreements with governments and agencies to affect the cleanup? What exactly does that mean?
Through you, Mayor Morrison. So part of it, looking at it, is if we need any special arrangements with the conservation authorities, that would be agencies. And if we do need to enter into an agreement to affect that relationship, we should be able to do it. In terms of governments, specifically other municipalities and the region appeal.
Okay, thank you. Going down to two bullets later, it talks about fire and emergency services reporting back on a plan to clean up rural private property debris. That's probably the single most important issue on people's mind right now. And if we pass this today, is there a timeline here? And can we say to people, yes, we are considering helping you on your private property? Because we've got people who are asking now what is going to happen with respect to their rural private property. So what message, if this passes, do we give them after today?
Through you, Mayor Morrison, we haven't established a timeline, but we could certainly come back in February council meeting. One of the issues and the main issue for delegating this particular requirement to the Fire and Emergency Services is we've certainly heard a lot of issues around the burning permits and allowing burning of this debris. And in order for that to be considered, I think we also need to get the advice from Fire and Emergency Services of how this can be done in a safe manner. So we will report back as soon as we can, but that was the key focus of doing it. There might be other parts as well that other departments will contribute to, and that'll be part of the report as well.
Okay. I think there will be more and more people asking. And my third point is one I made last meeting. I still would encourage the people who are reviewing this whole process to look at the possibility of a 1-800-CALEDON number that for most of the year simply goes directly to our switchboard. But in the event of an emergency, we have a call center in Bolton that's used internationally that could bring in staff and people would at least have someone could speak to them and help direct their calls. I think it would be quite easy to set up. I know in a few years right now we have cell phones and people were using them, and some of us have an old-fashioned phone that we can actually plug in and use. So you should keep one or buy one at a garage sale because it's worth its weight in gold during an ice storm. But I think if we look at something like that, that 99% of the time simply goes to our switchboard, but the other 1% when we really need it goes to live people that can help people with live issues. Thanks.
Councillor Mazzapelli.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I do very much appreciate the report. It takes a terrible weather event and takes advantage of it and addresses how we can do things better. And so I'm appreciative of that. Two quick questions, and it was on the heels of Councillor Beffert's inquiry about fire and emergency services reporting back to council on a plan to clean up rural private property debris. I just wanted to be clear on that. And Mr. Barnes, you talked about the aspect of burn permits, and certainly I can understand that. But I don't know if this is directed through the chief or through you. Are we actually entertaining fire and emergency services going on to private property and cutting down trees, that type of thing?
Absolutely not. What we're talking about is fire and emergency services both providing education and regulatory structure if fires are going to be used as part of the disposal.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure I was clear on that. The other thing, and Madam Mayor, you can correct me if I'm wrong, as a part of reviewing everything the town does and how to make it better, my understanding was that during the ice storm, Public Works, their communication system was overburdened with operators trying to relay vital information back and forth. And unless I'm wrong on that, I'm wondering if this will be captured as a part of this review, how to expand their communication capacity.
Leveridge and I met with all of the public works yards and all of the men and women who work for us and who were out there the 17 hours at a time with their 8 hours off and back 17 and right through Christmas and New Year's. And we met with them to thank them very much for the job that they've done and how much our residents appreciate it. One of the things they brought up in the meeting was the fact that their communications didn't work too well, their phones that they have and everything. So I think that you will see something coming forward, and I think you'll probably see it in the next budget we'll be dealing with, and it probably is a new communication system with GIS, but I'll leave that to the new director.
My microphone's on. I apologize. Through you, Madam Mayor. The issue's been brought up. We're aware of it. There's a number of it really comes down to both communications, but also the ability for us to be able to track our vehicles, track what our vehicles are doing. In the current capital budget, there's already some money put aside. I'm not sure that it's going to be sufficient to address all of the concerns, but I think we're going to come back with a proposal for that, both communications and some sort of system that would allow us to track what our trucks are doing and flows and all that kind of stuff. So well aware of it, and part of the plan for this year to get at least started and if not completed.
Okay, Councillor Thompson.
Here, the one thing is when you're talking about the cleanup is a lot of the residents are asking, they don't have trucks and they don't have trailers, but they can get it to the local park. And is there a collection area? And then they said even if it's just a weekend where they can bring the stuff in so Public Works can get it mulched on site and it's easier to truck away versus trying to haul. You're just hauling air basically with trucks right now, hauling branches. And that was just something the residents were asking for cleanup in their communities and if that's something that we can look at.
Okay. I'm sure the director will take a look at that.
One other thing I was going to ask for is when we do our emergency plan, before we bring it back to council, could we have it as a pick, like a meeting where the public, because the public gets educated, and there might be an aha moment that we maybe missed that someone's experienced, and I'm just wondering if that is something that maybe we could possibly do. And One more thing, Madam Mayor, and I think it's more the CEO, yourself, and Public Works is, challenge I have is, I had met with CVC yesterday dealing with the trees in the river, and I'm getting some bad vibes, and I'm just wondering if we can provide the leadership to see if we can get M&R to get the trees out of the river. And as I shared some pictures with the director today of the challenges, and I know the Humber's just as bad, but I'm just saying is I think we're going to have to take the leadership here. I don't think the conservation authorities are going to be able to do something in times of the essence. We're okay for the next 2 weeks because we're in a cold freeze, but if we get a flash thaw, we are going to be in big trouble. And guess who's holding the bag?
Mr. Barnes.
So we're certainly undertaking that relationship building with the two conservation authorities. In our submission to the province for provincial funding under ODRAP or whatever program they choose, we have budgeted in there the requirements for cleanup of up to 40 bridges and culverts out of our 133. We thought that was a reasonable number to look at, and so we do have the planning and stages now to do that work.
Yeah, it's just my concern is this with the flooding, and I know the conservation authority said, well, yeah, we can assist with sandbags and different things. That doesn't solve the problem. We've got trees in the river. We have to get out. We have to get them out somehow. And it's going to take experts that know what they're doing, because we don't want people getting drowned trying to do it themselves. But it's a disaster area, our rivers, and we got to figure out how we're going to do this. And I'm just saying, I think we really got to ramp up, and we're going to have to take the lead on this.
So when you took your pictures, did you actually go down to McLaughlin Road and look up and...
I have them, and I'm going to send them to everybody, but I want to label where they are, and actually the Grange, the north side, the water is running over the trees.
No, I know. That's what I tried to tell you.
It's scenic.
Because Councillor Thompson had some pictures from the Mill Street Bridge in Cheltenham, and everything was folded in, and I said, well, that's nothing. That looks good compared to what the credit looks like further upstream, Inglewood and up in the Grange. So anyway, Councillor DeBoer.
Okay, I'm glad that it was clarified that we weren't sending Mark and Daryl out to start cleaning up backyards. I think he's probably happy to hear that too. He's got his own to clean up. The one comment, and I brought it up, and I did get a number of calls on it, was at our last meeting. I had brought up that we do have a lot of rural residents on small lots that might not be comfortable with burning, that are in the urban areas, for example, the village of Palgrave, where the limbs are too big and not having the ability to truck them to a central location. And there has to be a way through the region, through the waste management, that if they get it up to the curb, and I think City of Toronto is looking at it, getting it up to the curb, so they can be picked up at the road, and it could be picked up with a truck with a chipper and chipped there, or something could be managed, or similar to what they did here in Caledonese when they cleaned up the street. They
Summer
had a
Gate.
Contractor there
Summer
with a claw and yeah, Summerview, with the
times.
Claw on the box and managed to clean it up. So I think there's probably some way that I'll leave it with staff. Something I heard here just in the last week, and Brian would have to tell me, is that with the cold spell we're enjoying now, and the cold spell we had about a week and a half ago, that we were potentially could have killed some of the emerald ash?
Through you, Madam Mayor, I don't think there's any evidence that the cold will kill emerald ash borer.
Okay, because there were some reports that they said that was one benefit to the cold temperatures that we had, was that it was killing the larvae off. So if it does, then we potentially have the savings of the program we put in place. For all it was.
For you, Madam Mayor, we can wait and see, but it won't kill the emerald ash borer off.
Okay. Other than that, I think, the one other question I had was, yes, the ice storm was an inconvenience, but if we were out in eastern Ontario when they had the ice storm before, we'd still be sitting in darkness. So my question is, do we figure out a backup plan? Like, we ran the generator here, I think the report said 3 days straight. Does our fuel supplier have generator that they can continuously deliver? Because I imagine that thing there probably takes up quite a bit of fuel, and does it run a day on a tanker load of fuel?
Mr. Barnes?
We ran the generator for 2 days, and we did not have a problem getting it refueled, and I believe it was refueled on the third day. So we had capacity for running for 2 days.
But if the ice storm had been widespread, is there a requirement for our fuel supplier to be able to supply fuel not only to our generator but also to our trucks and our yards, and is that part of the tender process? Because some fuel companies, bulk fuel delivery companies, may not have generators available to deliver fuel.
Right. So that'll be certainly something that we look at as part of our response plan.
Okay. Councillor Beffert?
Yes, I'm just going to come back to the issue I think that Councillor DeBoer brought up regarding what's currently are we telling our residents, rural residents, about pickup of limbs? And Councillor Whitehead made the point last meeting that in the spring it's going to be even worse. So at the moment, are we still structuring to the 4-foot length, or are we saying that they can bring them to the curb and that they will be picked up? And is the region doing anything, and do we have any chipper trucks that are doing? I'm not quite sure what to tell them.
Okay, Mr. Barnes.
The only pickup we have is what is being done by the Region of Peel. And that's the limitation, 4 foot long, 4 inches in diameter, or there's also a size requirement for brush.
And at the moment, we don't anticipate any other?
We have asked the region, we had a resolution last week. We have asked the region to, in fact, deal with the issue of larger amounts and in rural areas.
And the issue of timeline, as Councillor Whitehead said, when the snow melts, it's going to be even worse than I think we anticipated. Is that something the region has discussed, that this will go on for a period of time?
The region actually has, as part, they did announce that they were only going to run it for, I believe, a couple of weeks. But through their ODRAP program, they have actually budgeted for money to run that program a lot longer. So I'm not sure how long it will run exactly.
Okay. Councillor Foley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. To Nick's comments about the ML dashboard and whether there might be any savings to be had from that budget, I can't see how there would be, because only a small portion of that budget, I believe, was for treatment. The majority of that budget was for removal, stump grinding, and replacement of trees. And we have more of that to do sooner than now than we did before. Thank you.
Councillor Paderak.
Yes, thank you. Yes, I had a discussion yesterday with Garnet Barnsdale at the Peel Region Waste Management about the collection, and they're trying to manage it on the terms of their existing contract. They've called them out, they've got an extension, but I know people groan about the bundles and the weight, but they're dealing, it's a workplace safety thing, that 40 pounds is what they're supposed to pick up, and they are running it this week, and but as to the future and as to the terms that it might be, I just wanted the press to get that name, Garnet Barnsdale, and he's at extension 7931, and he can explain to you what they're thinking about. But the problem with the rural area is that there isn't a whole lot of there's never been a whole lot of pickup. There are some people. So do you send a truck running up and down the length of every road? So they were going to reconnoiter it with their own forces and then tell the truck where to go. But the scale of things, I don't think that really satisfies rural property owners. And I think we have to start strategizing ourselves. You know, that if you have more than 2 acres, you should be able to find a place to stack some brush and let it rot down. I mean, I know that doesn't suit everybody that wants a picture-perfect lot. But, I mean, when you have the reality of what we're talking about, it doesn't take too much time for this stuff to compress it and to be a much smaller pile than you started out with. But it certainly is going to be a challenge, but we can't expect the region to do it through their existing contracts. If they get money and fashion a program that they can work in an affordable way, then that's the way to go. But I think we're going to have to start talking about some cooperation so that people who do have trailers say, look, I've got a trailer. I'll help you with this and that, and talk to each other if you have to get rid of this stuff, because they will take it at the CRC. No problem there. Thank you.
The problem is, at least at my place, it's all frozen into the ground or into other bushes, so I don't know how you ever do it. Councillor McClure?
Yep, the ice storm is nature's way of trimming damaged and diseased limbs, but it overdid itself. But what is the number of the Peel region if people call wanting?
905-791-7800. And just ask for the waistline.
Waistline.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else, Councillor McClure?
That's it.
No? Okay. Thank you. Okay. You heard the motion. All those in favor of the motion? It's carried. Okay. We'll move on to RB3. Moved by Councillor McClure, seconded by Councillor Thompson, that report CS 2013-005 regarding delegation of tax ratio setting authority under Section 310 of the Municipal Act be received, and that Council resolve to consent to the enactment of a regional bylaw delegating tax ratio setting from the region appeal to the cities of Mississauga and Brampton and the town of Caledon in accordance with Section 310 of the Municipal Act 2001 as amended for the 2014 property tax year. Any questions? All those in favor? It's carried. Okay, we'll move on to RB4, moved by Councillor Thompson, seconded by Councillor McClure. That report, CS 2014-018, regarding a proposed license agreement between the town and Rogers Communication be received, and that the mayor and clerk be authorized to execute a license agreement between Rogers Communications and the Corporation of the Town of Caledon for space on the communication tower located on part of the southwest half of Lot 14, Concession 2, west of Hugh Ontario Street, designated as Part 1, Plan 43R-16760, in accordance with the terms in staff report CS 2014-018. Are there any questions? All those in favor? It's carried. Okay, move on. RB5, moved by Councillor Whitehead, seconded by Councillor Mazzapelli. That report CS 2014-021 regarding a proposed one-year renewal for a license agreement between the town and Metrolinx for lands to be used as a turnaround location at the Castle Dirk Works Yard, Ward 4, be received, and that the mayor and clerk be authorized to execute a license agreement between Metrolinx and the town to allow Metrolinx access to the Castle Dirk Works Yard for the purpose of turning around coaches in accordance with the terms detailed in report CS 2014-021. Any questions? All those in favor? It's carried. Move on to RB6, moved by Councillor Thompson, seconded by Councillor McClure. Excuse me. That report, DP 2014-010, regarding a proposed temporary use zoning bylaw amendment application, file number RZ13-11 by Argo Development Corporation, care of Glenn Schnarr and Associates, Inc., for part of west half of Lot 22, Concession 1, EHS Ching, located at the southeast corner of Hugh Ontario Street and Old School Road, Ward 2, be received, and that Council enact a temporary use bylaw to amend zoning bylaw number 2006-50 as amended to rezone the subject lands from agricultural A1 to agricultural temporary with exception in order to permit the establishment of a temporary home sales center. Any questions? All those in favor? It's carried. Okay. We'll move on to RB8. Moved by Councillor Patterack, seconded by Councillor Beffert. That the province of Ontario be requested to eliminate clauses in the Aggregate Resources Act, ARA, that allow the minister to amend site plan provisions of an ARA license without consulting the host municipality, and that the province of Ontario be requested to increase the royalties on mineral aggregates payable to municipalities to help offset the financial cost of mineral aggregate extraction to the host municipality, and that the province of Ontario be requested to apportion part of the funds received from the aggregate levy to retain full-time staff to inspect aggregate operations and deal with compliance issues in the town of Caledon and other aggregate-producing municipalities, and that the province of Ontario be requested to include in the ARA site plan provisions requiring aggregate producers to work with all stakeholders involved to develop comprehensive rehabilitation master plans for aggregate sites in areas of high concentration of quarries and pits, and that the province of Ontario be requested to provide more incentives for the use of recycled aggregates and disincentives for the use of virgin aggregates, and that the province of Ontario be requested to amend the Assessment Act so that aggregate properties remain in the industrial property class, tax class, until full rehabilitation of the property, and that the province of Ontario be requested to allow part of the levy collected from aggregate operations be apportioned as funds for incentives for the industry for the use of recycled aggregates, and that the province of Ontario be requested to amend the building code to specifically designate structures on aggregate operations as buildings, which will facilitate the levying of development charges for aggregate properties, and that the province of Ontario be requested to amend the Development Charges Act 1997 to facilitate the calculation and collection of development charges for aggregate operations to ensure that such development pays for their share of growth-related capital, and that the province of Ontario be requested to expand the notification of a license application and applicable site plan amendment application from 120 meters to 2 kilometers from the proposed license area, and extend the public review of a license application and applicable site plan amendment application from 45 days to 180 days, and that the province undertake a comprehensive economic assessment of the impact of all new aggregate operations on neighboring property values prior to granting approval or license for the aggregate operation, and that staff report DP 2014-013 be forwarded to the Ministry of Natural Resources as the Town of Caledon's comments, and that staff be directed to forward report DP 2013-013 to the Region Appeal, Credit Valley Conservation Authority, Toronto Region Conservation Authority, Nottawasaga Valley Conservation Authority, Lake Simcoe Region Conservation Authority, and Niagara Escarpment Commission for their information. Are there any comments on this? Oh, it's on here. Councillor Beffert.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'd just like you to be aware, and Council to be aware, that when this report was filed in the agenda for the day, I received a letter from PitSense, one of the aggregate groups that has been formed in Ward 1, and asking some questions, and you have a copy of that letter, thanks to the clerk. I forwarded the comments to the clerk, and basically the understanding is that this report is a corporate response to the ARA. If there are any groups like PitSense that would like to make their own thoughts known, they should direct them directly to the ARA group. However, there are some things in this report from PitSense that I think Council should be aware of, and it goes along with the discussion that we had last week with Councillor Patterak's motion with respect to the groups that are forming in our community and some of the issues that they would like us to be aware of. So everybody has a copy of that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Actually, what we have before us is not much different than what we approved when I delegated the ARA review on behalf of the Town of Caledon. So, all those in favor of the motion? Oh, I'm sorry, I have Councillor Patterak.
I just wanted to thank staff for a most thorough analysis. They've looked at all the issues, the solutions. I mean, are out there for the MNR to look at. I don't expect that everything that we suggest, or even hope that everything we suggest, would be considered. But I'd like to think that MNR would open up their eyes and ears and realize that there have to be some changes. The review document that was tabled certainly seemed to leave a lot of issues unanswered, and people felt like they were talking in an empty room, I suppose, when they did their delegations. In the fall, we were looking at two responses from the provincial government. One was that ARA document, and the other was the PPS document, which we thought we were going to hear about in October or November, and there's no word on it. It's lost in the mail.
Madam Mayor, Not sure if it's lost in the mail, but we have not received anything official.
Okay, thank you. But thank you for staff for your efforts and on behalf of this. And I think you've incorporated a lot of the comments that came from the public during the meetings we had on the Olympia sand and gravel application. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I also would like to thank staff. I think that it's a very full report and has taken in a lot of the things that TAPMO is working on behalf of the municipalities in Ontario, the top aggregate producing municipalities, so I thank you very much. All those in favor? It's carried. Okay, we will go back to the number 11, Council Communications, Inquiries, and Announcements. There aren't any announcements, no urgent business. Notice is the motion. I have I don't have that. Okay, thank you. I have a motion moved by Councillor Patterack, seconded by Councillor Beffert. Whereas the Town of Caledon supports accessible housing for an aging population, and whereas at a meeting on June 17th, 2013 with Caledon Development Industry, the Mayor, members of Council, and staff regarding accessible housing for aging population, the minutes of the meeting state the Town of Caledon can set a standard. It can pick a project and make it happen. Long-term solutions are driven by successful examples of innovative thinking and actions by leaders. And therefore, be it resolved that Council directs staff to develop a process for the proposed project known as Sun Valley Development, Heather Glen Village, located immediately north of Caledon Village, between Highway 10 and Kennedy Road, being part of the Lot 17, Concession 1, EHS, Caledon, approximately 198 acres, and that a staff member is dedicated to the development of the process and attend any meetings with upper levels of government to make this accessible housing development for an aging population a reality, and that staff report back to Council by April 2014 on the process. Okay. Councillor Mezzapelli.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to make sure the mover or the seconder didn't want to speak to it first. They're not on your list, I guess.
Well, now there is one, but
I'm happy to let them go first.
Okay. You go ahead.
Okay. Certainly, I support the idea and the intent of the motion here of what we're standing behind and trying to promote in our community. I do sit on the Seniors Committee, and I do recall the group delegating us and putting out a very comprehensive development plan to follow people through their lives as they age and as their needs change as they age. And certainly this is something that is fully supportable and something that would be great in our community, which I want to be clear, I do support. The problem I have with this, Madam Mayor, and I've spoken with Councillor Beffert and yourself on this, is I'm concerned that this is taking one application and saying, yes, we support this and we want this to move forward. We're going to dedicate staff to working with you through this. I just want to reiterate, I support implementing something like this in our community. There's a need for it in our community. I just don't agree with selecting one and saying, yes, we're going to go ahead when there may be others out there trying to do the same thing. So respectfully, for that reason, I will not be supporting this. Thanks.
Thank you. Councillor Beffert?
Yes, and I appreciate what Councillor Mezzapelli is saying, but I'd like to look at this more of a concept than an individual developer wanting to do something. The same group that we're giving sort of approval for our staff to at least allow them to further this discussion have gone to several different municipalities. It may be even that we are not selected because we can't overcome all the hurdles. So it's not just a developer. They happen to own the land, they happen to have the concept, and they'd happen to like to move forward. And the federal government, provincial government, regional government, and Caledon have all said that this is an important ingredient in our community. So I hear what you're saying, but there are so many hurdles to overcome here with this one. I've spoken with the chair of the Caledon Village Association, and one of the things that we need to do is let people know that this is a possibility in their community and see what kind of response there is, which we will do in the next little while. But I think we should, we've got to do something, and I think this is the something.
Okay. Councillor Foley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I chair the Aging Population Steering Committee at the Region of Peel, so I'm very, very interested in this and in any kind of developments that provide housing for seniors in our community. It's a huge demand that's coming up on us, and we're not nearly ready to meet it, in my mind. Do we have any other possibilities? Is this it for this place right now?
Not a total concept.
Not a total concept like this. And what kind of staff time are we looking at providing them with? Is it minimal? Or?
What, Mrs. Hall, do you want me to answer that, or you want to answer it? Oh, I was in the meeting, and they said that they're requesting it'll be about 2 hours a month to meet at the province with them, because they've been meeting at the province, and the province wants to know where the municipality is. So,
okay, thank you.
Councillor DeBoer.
Thanks. I think this is a good idea. We certainly have to start somewhere. I don't know of any other applications specifically in the area that we're looking at as part of our expansion to the village of Bolton that are in my area, that are part of my ward. So it's good to start and start somewhere and have a process. I think we've talked about this location for a while. When you start talking about Caledon Village, and the lands above it, it's not prime agricultural land. And if you can get around the Aggregate Resources Act and that sort of stuff, what better place in Caledon can you have it? My parents used to live in Caledon Village. If this sort of thing was there, they probably would have moved to it rather than to Bellwood. So, I think that we need to start addressing it. There's got to be something middle ground. Reddington subdivision is similar to this, but it's not the full extended care, and the Reddington subdivision at a price point doesn't afford it to a lot of people. Unless you're moving out of Cedar Mills or a pretty swanky little place in Palgrave, you're not going to Reddington. With that in mind, I think that this is probably a really good idea.
Councillor Paderak.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to say that we talk about a lot of concepts and the things that we need in the town, but unless we have a champion in the form of somebody with money that wants to do some of these things, they will never happen. And when someone comes along who is a champion, how do we deal with them? And I think this is giving a little encouragement to them to push on and see if they can overcome. There are huge obstacles in terms of servicing and in terms of provincial plans and such to this. But if what they say is true, that there is some appetite for this at the province, maybe there is a way it can be done. And it's not to say that somebody else isn't going to come forward in another area and say that we're interested in doing this, and we should have a similar resolution for them as well. Because I can think of no better place for a continuum of care than in an area that is relatively tranquil, and that would be the area between Highway 10 and Kennedy Road. It's a large area, and once you get away from the highway, and you don't have to get too far away from the highway, to be in a fairly tranquil area where you can feel safe and feel serviced for your health and your social needs, and I think it would be very, very popular, because you're just an hour and minutes away from downtown Toronto and other family members, what have you, and it's a good location. So let's give it a try and see what happens.
Okay. Councillor Foley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to clarify this, and my understanding is this is not like this is not a single seniors building. This is a continuum of care type proposal, something that's unique that we do not have other possibilities coming to us like this. Is that correct?
That's right.
Thank you.
Yes, yeah. From the whole continuum. Okay. Thank you. I also am going to be, very much in support of it, and the reason is because when they presented to our seniors committee, the seniors committee overwhelmingly were excited, and that told me a lot. And this, I'm hoping, if this does start moving forward, it'll be a catalyst for other communities like this in the town of Caledon. I'd love to see one over near Bolton. I'd love to see one maybe somewhere in the South End, and so that we all have choices as we move forward. So, okay, a recorded vote has been requested. All those in favor, please stand.
Thank you, Your Worship. A recorded vote is called. Councillor Beffert, Councillor DeBoer, Councillor Foley, Councillor McClure, Mayor Morrison, Councillor Patrick, Councillor Thompson, Councillor Whitehead are in favor.
Okay, opposed?
And Councillor Mazzapelli. So the motion carries.
Thank you very much. Okay, we'll move on to the next notice of motion, moved by Councillor Foley, seconded by Councillor Mazzapelli. Whereas a number of Greater Toronto Area GTA towns and cities, such as Mississauga, Richmond Hill, Oakville, Milton, Clarington, Bradford, Brantford, Markham, and Toronto, offer driveway windrow snow clearing programs for seniors and persons with physical disabilities. And whereas the impacts of the December 21st, 2013 ice storm have underscored the need to assist vulnerable Caledon residents during extreme weather incidents, therefore, be it resolved that staff review the programs offered in surrounding areas and report back to Council with information regarding eligibility requirements, fees charged, if any, estimated costs, and a program proposal for Caledon. Councillor Foley.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This came about because I did have a number of calls following the ice storm about this particular problem. For the most part, it was from seniors, so I went online and had a look. I found these following listed communities that did have a type of a windrow program. So it made me want to just look into it. There were all kinds of variations out there. Some communities had residents and basically prove eligibility each year. There were some that charged a fee, some that didn't, some that didn't charge a fee for eligible seniors, but for one, seniors who weren't eligible based on needing the financial assistance, they did it for them as well if they signed up for it, but there was a fee of $200. So there are all kinds of variations out there on the idea, and I'd just like to see something we could look at. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor DeBoer?
Yeah, we talk about, and then we had it during the presentation, about it being communities of community and wanting to be a town rather than a city. And something like this is what neighbors are for. I know I certainly do a number of places, and I lined up a bunch or a couple of people to do some laneways during this ice storm. But I think this is exactly what you know, what your neighbors are for. Not everybody on a street is unable to do it, and you know, that this is to look towards the town and the municipality to continually come up with programs when, as individuals, we should be taking a look around our neighborhood and doing a little bit extra, I think would go a long ways to building a community.
Okay. Thank you. All those in favor of the motion? Okay, it's carried. Well, I guess I can say opposed if you want to, but... Okay, we're going to move on to, are there any notices of motion? Seeing none. Council inquiries, Councillor Beffert? No, Councillor DeBoer? Councillor Foley? Councillor McClure? Councillor Mazzapelli?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just a quick question to Mr. Leverage. I know that we were undertaking work to finalize boundary road agreements with our neighboring municipalities. And if memory serves me correct, we were going to start with the east, with Vaughan. I'm just wondering if you have any updates as to how that's progressing. Because I know some things are hinging on those being finalized with Vaughan specifically.
Actually, Ms. DeGorder can speak to that because she's been working on that.
Unless you want me to refer it to you. Oh, David. Okay, that's what I figured. Through you, Mayor Morrison, to Councillor Mazzapelli. I know my staff in the Legal Services Department have been working with David's staff as well in regards to these, and we are looking at them. I don't know specifically, I know negotiations are going along, so I don't know if there's one particular being ready as in bond, but I know collectively they're being looked at as a whole.
Okay, so it's still underway.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Councillor Thompson?
Real quick, I've had a number of people over time, and it just seems to be it's piling up, is there's been a lot of changes taking place with the people that are looking after the graveyards. And the municipality has some graveyards, but some of the new provincial regulations that are coming in, a lot of them are just saying, you know what, maybe we should just give it to the town and let them worry about it. And I don't think we really want to take ownership on any more graveyards than what we've got. And I'm wondering if it's some way, and I don't know who would be responsible, could we just coordinate, because there is some great stuff being done by some of them. Like Herb Van Arkel has been helping quite a few getting through the process, but it's lack of knowledge, but it's a reality, and I'm just wondering if the town could probably coordinate a summit, even on a Saturday or something, and allow the people to come in and share of ideas, and I think we can help out for a lot of them that don't know how to get through the process. Herb has developed a software himself that he's willing to share with other people, but it's to pull it together, and it's great, you know, you can bring in, but we're going to miss some, and I think the town has probably a better handle than anybody on graveyards, and I don't know who would look after that.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Barnes?
Through you, Mayor Morrison, we'll look into it, and I'll get back to Councillor Johnson.
Thanks. Okay. Councillor Whitehead? No? Councillor Patterick?
Yeah, I just wanted to add up to what Councillor Thompson said. I had a long conversation with Herb Van Arkel, who has done a lot to help Boston Mills stay on the straight and narrow in terms of fiscally staying on top of it. He would be able, if we worked with him, to help a lot of the other, and he is aware of the problems that Alton and some of the other cemeteries are having. And I think if we put our heads together and got Herb involved and had the common touch on it with peer-to-peer counseling and some information, it would be very very proactive, and in the long run it could save us a lot of money, I think, and provide a better service to the public as well.
Okay, thank you. We're going to go back to the in camera. Moved by Councillor Whitehead, seconded by Councillor Thompson, that confidential verbal report from Chris Barnett, partner at Davis LLP, regarding advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege, including communications necessary for that purpose, referral of the ministry zoning order to the Ontario Municipal Board for the Canadian Tire Distribution Center, be received. All those in favor? It's carried. The next in camera has been moved by Councillor Patterack, seconded by Councillor McClure, the confidential report DP 2014-012 regarding litigation, including matters before administrative tribunals affecting the municipality, and advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege, including communications necessary for that purpose. Brampton Brick Limited, appeal of Niagara Escarpment Commission decision, reproposed amendment to rehabilitation plan of licensed shale extraction operation, be received, and that the Town of Caledon's legal counsel be directed to represent the Town of Caledon, the town, as a party in this development permit appeal hearing before the Niagara Escarpment Hearing Office, as outlined in confidential staff report DP 2014-012. Any questions? All those in favor? It's carried. Okay. We'll go on to receipt of minutes. I have a motion moved by Councillor Whitehead, seconded by Councillor Mazzapelli, that the minutes of the following meetings be adopted as written and distributed. Council meeting held January 7th, 2014, and that the minutes of the following meetings be received as written and distributed. Caledon Public Library meeting held November 11th, 2013. All those in favor? It's carried. Okay, there's no proclamations, correspondence. Moved by Councillor Mazzapelli, seconded by Councillor McClure, that the correspondence items as listed in the correspondence package for the January 21st, 2014 Council meeting be received. All those in favor? It's carried. Okay, public question period. Are there any questions from the public? Seeing none, We'll move to bylaws. Excuse me, moved by Councillor Whitehead, seconded by Councillor McClure, that the following bylaws be read a first, second, and third time and finally passed, 2014-009 and 2014-010. All those in favor? It's carried. Okay, I need a motion of adjournment. Councillor Beffert, Councillor Mazzapelli, all those in favor? It's carried. Thank you very much, folks.